Hello again, it's In The Know, brought to you by The Racing Post, everyone's favourite Friday night tipping show, looking ahead to a very big Saturday, and a very big Saturday which hopefully teases up for a very big week indeed. Of course, August is very much on the horizon, glorious Goodwood and Galway next week, but before all that gets going, we've got a cracking Saturday at two of the finest tracks in the land. For the Southerners, we're going to Ascot. For the Northerners, we're going to York. And we've got the King George, of course, normally a battle of generations, but no three-year-olds for the third time in the last 10 years, so not entirely without a precedent. And we've got some interesting horses, though, from the older generation going head-to-head, including a rematch between Calandergan and Jan Brugel. Rebels Rome, of course, the globe-trotting superstar coming off the back of that hard week. And just to put the cat amongst the pigeons, Cal Parner taking on the boys as well. And over at York, we have a horse who, look, we would have loved to see Al Makam at Sandown, but we get to see him at York instead. And in theory, it should be a perfect prep for his intended run in the International in a few weeks' time. Thanks for joining us. If you are at home, like at the stream, as ever, we love those thumbs up, and we like you getting involved in the chat as well. So hello to Darren Walker, to Mike Boyd, to Paul Tolliver, to Frank Fortune, to Destiny Sounds, to Neil F, and everyone else watching at home. My name is Ross Briley, and as ever, I'm joined by the one and only Mr. Paul Keighley, fresh from a beautiful trim there, Keels. You looking?
Yeah, it needed to do as usual. They took much more time on my eyebrows, my nose, and my ears. But yeah, it's all done.
Yeah, you like one of those toys you used to get with the iron filings and the magnet, like
absolutely,
that these days.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. It all grows there and there now, but not there.
You look fantastic in HD. you really do. What are we making of Saturday?
Lots of seriously competitive races, isn't they? I love them. I mean, Ascot is one of the most frustrating tracks at which to ever bet, isn't it? Especially on the straight course. But I do love it. I love having a crack at it. And obviously, the King George might be lacking runners, but there are some very good ones there, and it's a fascinating contest.
Yeah, there are. In terms of ratings, official ratings, the front two in the market are better than the last four winners, that's for sure. And that's without throwing Cal Parner, who could improve, and Rebels Romance, who turns up and does it every time.
He really is what he is, isn't he? If anything's below form, he'll win.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, like you said, handicaps galore.
Mm. Yeah, I love my big handicaps. We've got a few at Ascot, a few at York.
And if you just watched that first at York tonight as well, where about 48 horses were stopped in their run at Grouchy
Boys. Including one of mine, And sneaked into fifth for the place money with the extra places, so. I'd like to say I'm happy, but I thought we might have won with a run, but you could say that about a few of them.
I was going to say, and we got a dead heat for first as well. So that's York for you. That's what we're going to expect all weekend. Tom Siegel and a big weekend of sport as well. The Women's Euros final on Sunday. I watched the semi-final in a pub in Scotland the other day, Tom. That was an experience. We forgot we were in Scotland until we celebrated the winner, and then we remembered.
Yeah, about 4 years ago in the Euros, when we were in the semis, and I was playing golf up in Scotland, and exactly the same happened. And the cabbie on the way home wasn't happy. He dropped us off halfway when he realised we were English. That was fun in the middle of some Scottish field.
Yeah, fair enough. To be fair, they took it very well. But there was that moment where we just suddenly remembered.
Never a penalty, he kept crying at us. Never a penalty.
Was that from the other night or from 4 years ago?
From 4 years ago when we beat Denmark 2-1 in the semis, or whatever it was.
There you go. Time flies, doesn't it? Ascot and York, of course, this weekend. And then Keels' favourite, Goodwood, next week. And we'll wait a few weeks to York for your favourite.
No interest in Goodwood whatsoever.
what are we making of Ascot and York?
It's a normal pile of winners when it comes.
Oh, yeah. But with a look on his face that says, I'm above all this, half the field getting stopped in the run down the road.
Yeah, I've done enough of all that. I'm too old to worry about what's happening at Goodwood.
Absolutely. But tomorrow, Ascot and York for a big Saturday.
Yeah, look, I love two of my favourite tracks, especially Ascot. I absolutely love Ascot and really looking forward to it. Some great races. Love the King George. My favourite race when I was growing up. Miles better than the Ark. Always was. Still is, in my opinion. And really looking forward to it. Great horses win it. You look down the years and, all the best horses won the King George when I was growing up. None of them won the Ark. No one cared about it. Now, it's all changed around. So we don't get 3-year-olds running in the King George for some unknown reason. Be better if there was one, but nonetheless, what a great race. 3, 4 very, very top-class older horses.
I mean, to be fair, if you go back, you know, before the York Stakes, you might have had Stanhope Gardens and Green Impact in the King George.
You might have. Listen, they'd be big prices, wouldn't they? Considering they finished 5th and 6th in the derbies, whatever. But you used to get the derbies winner running every year, didn't you? I mean, just did. They'd go for the King George or the Eclipse and the King George. Many of them did. Nowadays, they seem to shy away from it for some unknown reason. I have no idea why. I think it's probably to do with it's a very big test of stamina for 3-year-olds at this time of the season, and not many horses stay a mile and a half.
No, fair enough. It is, like you said, it's a race that, you know, horses for your back-end races will... I don't know. I almost wonder these days if it was a month later, almost it might get a bit more.
Traction. Mind you, but then you run into the Judd Monty, isn't it? I think if you think about all the Derby winners over the year, like your City of Troy's and those lads, they all end up going down in trip. August Rodin, they all end up running over 10 furlongs rather than mile and a half. Whereas in the old days, your Shergars and your Troy's and your Nashwans and your Dancing Braves and all those lads, you know, they used to stay at a mile and a half, and now people don't want them. People don't want those type of horses. They don't like them, do they, for breeding purposes? So that's probably the reason why.
That's true. Don't worry, there'll be plenty of sprinters for you next week. Right, OK, we will be getting stuck into Saturday's action after this.
Hi, Jonathan Harding here to tell you about the Racing Post's Glorious Goodwood preview show. Join myself, Graham Rodway and Robbie Wilders to give you all the key race trends, runner-by-runner guides and tips for the key races on the South Downs. A really fun show, and you can catch it here at 8 p.m. on the Racing Post YouTube channel.
There you go, top Racing Post journalist Jonathan Harding there with who knew he could move? You've read his pieces. He is a full-blown human being, and they're going to cover all the stats, the trends, and all that kind of stuff, Tom, so that we don't have to. You'll be happy about that.
Yeah, perfect. I'm really looking forward. Well, listen, I was joking earlier. Of course, Goodwood, there's loads. I can't wait to see Field of Gold again. And there's loads of good races going on. So the top stuff I like, it's the infuriating handicaps that I find incredibly annoying. But really looking forward to Goodwood. Always do. It's the best. You know, if you've got anywhere to go, if I always say to people, if you've got anywhere to go to watch horse racing for the first time, go to Goodwood. It's absolutely superb.
Yeah, it really is.
When was the last time you actually went, Tom?
You are a nasty man, you are. Actually, when the Japanese horse won the Nassau.
Oh, Deirdre, is it?
Deirdre. Yeah, that's not that long ago, isn't it?
Not that long ago, is it? No.
Yeah, that's not too bad. That was when, did he scoop up the inside? Was that the...
Didn't know Sheen Murphy ride it?
Oh, maybe you're right. Yeah. Well, sorry, I'll cross to my Goodwood expert, producer Sam. It was a shoe.
But I used to be a member down there, so I've been to Goodwood as much as any track in the country bar stand down, so I do like it.
It's beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. There's going to be some crackers next week. Again, producer Sam was already salivating at the mouth, but the likes of the Lennox Stakes, for example, next week looks an absolute blinder, and Field of Gold, of course. It'd be nice to see him strutting his stuff once again. I quite like the 2-year-olds. There's a few entered that I've got. I've been waiting for that Zelena, who ran in the Queen Mary. I think she'll love Goodwood next week over 5.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to She's Quality in the other King George.
The other King George, yeah.
Because, she just looked like she was controlled speed at Sandown last time, but didn't get home up there, up the hill, and got pegged back by one. That's one horse she's been pegged back by each time, and I wonder if she can just hang on this time at Goodwood, because it's going to be a hell of a quicker test.
And Goodwood's a weird one, isn't it? Every distance at Goodwood, bar the 5 furlongs, you don't want to be front running. But 5 furlongs is so fast that you just want to blast out.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah. All right. What are you looking forward to at Goodwood next week? Tell us in your comments. Surely you've got some nice anti-post slips for a few. I know again that Sam has. Charlie Johnson's going to have a good week at Goodwood, says Paul Tolliver, Martin McDermott says 7 days of Galway. Come on over, Tom, and we'll show you how to do it. All right.
Yeah. Well, now you're talking, Martin. Was that Martin?
That was Martin.
I do like Galway. I do like the big races at Galway for sure.
If Martin, if you put us up in Galway, we'll come over for all 7 days. That's for sure.
In the know from Galway, doing Goodwood. Yeah, I'm up for that.
I'm up for that as well. I mean,
Heels is definitely up for it. I wonder why.
I mean, I've come all the way down to London to do York, so it makes perfect sense.
Funny, I've been to Galway loads of times, but never actually been racing there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a beautiful part of the world.
So am I.
Yeah, well, there you go. We need to make it happen. Make it happen. Right, okay, moving on then to Saturday. Starting off, first race of the day, the Princess Margaret Stakes, a group three for the fillies, for the juvenile fillies. And again, crikey, I thought this was a really, really tough renewal of this year's race with Flowerhead and Stayer at 7-2 at the joint favourites. Both of those were creditable defeats in the Queen Mary. Fitzella is 5-1, who of course was behind Venetian Sun in the Albany. Midnight Tango's 11-2, comes from the Newmarket race that often throws at the winner of this. Sakanya is 1-1 for Jack Shannon at 9-1. Then Bella Lyra, who was well fancied for that Midnight Tango race at last time out, and is a 10-1 shot. Eskimo Pie and Aragon Bay 12-1 and 14-1. Significant number here is Dance to the Music for Charlie Appleby. But again, sort of one of my favourite races of the season normally, Tom. I'm going to come to you again for the two-year-olds first. Normally it is, because this is the way you start to sort out the Ascot form and the Newmarket form, and the two-year-old figures and the numbers, they all start to come together. And I've actually done quite well in the past in this race, because it's often one, okay, I've been looking forward to watching her over six or going back to Ascot. But I thought this was a bit of a tough one this year.
Yeah, you can make cases for loads, but I think we should start with you, Ross, as you're the Princess Margaret specialist. What do you fancy?
None of them. All of them. That's the problem. I mean, I thought Flowerhead ran a blinder. Charlie Clover's having a great season. Fitzella, I fancied her. I thought she kind of got done by the softening of the ground a little bit as the Ascot week went on. If I'm honest, my first thoughts were Stayer, because I thought she just wasn't quite in the right position at Ascot, and she got going late at Sandown. But Bella Lyra, Richard Hughes is having a right old time of it as well. I thought I'd put it in the too tough category, if I'm honest.
Okay, I like Midnight Tango, one you didn't mention. Pedigree man, and she's the best bred filly in the race by a country mile. And I still think Ed Walker is underestimated in every race, in all these races. If you think back to his two-year-olds this season, he had the second in the Coventry, he had the second in the two Venetian Sun the other day at a massive price at Newmarket. He's got a whole load of good two-year-olds. I like her. I thought she should have won at Newmarket last time. She got behind. And I think what normally happens in this race, Ross, is they go really hard, don't they? And something picks up the pieces a bit late on. I think she's perfectly... her style will perfectly suit the race. I quite like her. I think she's going to go really well. She was a much bigger price. I mean, 11-2 on form is plenty short enough. But I just think the race is going to be run to suit her. So she'd be my choice. Midnight Tango.
Yeah, fair enough. Again, yeah, I agree. I mean, Ed Walker's almost become my sort of favourite trainer to back, because I know that they rarely run a bad race. He's got some really quality horses this year, but they're never overly fancied in the market. Interesting, no winner of this has come straight from the Queen Mary since 2009, and only one from the Albany since 2008. Mind you, not that many have tried, 10 and 7 respectively. But it is one of those races where a lot of form lines...
Well, yeah, a lot of form runners come in, but then you've got the slightly slower maturers that come in and sort of take over, don't you? Like, if you like, from the early season.
That's the passing of the baton.
That way, yeah. Yeah, so we don't know how to do it. I mean, I nearly backed Flowerhead when the decks came out on Thursday. She was actually 4th fav then. Obviously, Dance of Music has come out, so everything shortened up to a fair bit because she was fav. But I thought there was no fluke about that. I know she was 100-1, but I didn't think there was any fluke. She was 100-1. She was trained by Tom Clover, not because, not because she's not that good, and it was a fluke. I mean, Starman, the sire, has carried all before him this year, hasn't he? Like, you know what I mean? I think he's a top two-year-old sire in earnings so far.
Yeah.
I thought she looked really good, and I just started. I just thought to myself, but you know, these horses, they tend not to come from Royal Ascot.
Yeah.
Win this. So I started looking elsewhere, and she's got a hell of a lot to find on what she's done, but she's only run once. Sukanya of Jack Shannon's. I just thought she performed near miracles to win. She got stopped about 8 times. She was 16-1. It was a big field at Newbury. She actually won pretty. She was pretty weak in the market, but won pretty cosily anyway, despite all the trouble she had. And she's got a lot of other entry. I thought I might give her a time. You know, I would. I was close to putting it in the two difficult folders as you were, but if I was going to have a bet, I'd probably try a small one on something that didn't run at Alaska, so Sukanya.
Yeah, fair enough. Sukanya then is a 9-1 shot, and again, a Newbury 2-year-old novice racers are red hot every season, aren't they? And you get again, I don't think SP's really relevant in those Newbury novice races. I mean, we saw a couple last week, didn't you? Andrew Balding had one bolt up at double figures. I don't think the market has any idea.
No, that's right. No. I once remember making a case for a Richard Hannon thing that was really short next time out, but had won a massive price very easily first time. I thought, well, they know their 2-year-olds. They win at those sort of prices. When I actually went out and had a look, his horses that win first time out at big prices turn out to be pretty good.
Yeah,
You know, so don't worry about it.
Absolutely. As for the rest, Tommy Daniels is with Flowerhead for the course form. Amberia is one we didn't mention for Mike Boy. And Dave Brown says, don't need to bet in every race and giving this a wide berth. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough, Dave. Absolutely. You
very
don't need
true.
To bet in every race.
Very true.
Find the ones you've got your opinions on and get stuck into them. Right, the next race at Ascot is the Valiant Stakes hit here, Group 3 for the fillies and mares over the round mile. Chanty Lace is 11-4, Royal Dress 9-2, Cajole 11-2, Lulu's Gift 7s, Jancis is 9-1 with Pina Sonata, 10-1 Glittering Surf, 14's Bermuda Longtail, and you've got American Gal, Sunfall and Cheshire Dancer in here as well. But again, even Cheshire Dancer is very much on the upgrade, sort of 33-1 shot for Hugo Palmer, who's in rattling good form. He's drawn out wide, which is, as we've seen, is often a good place to be on the round track at Ascot. And she ran a career best last time out. So she's a 33-1 shot, and she doesn't have that much to find with a few at the top of the betting. This makes it quite an open race. However, we do have Group 1 form in a Group 3 here with Chanty Lace having run hugely creditable races at both Newmarket and Ascot. And again, I don't know. I'm starting to think again, maybe if different connections, would she be a little bit shorter? I mean, Rafe Beckett obviously is very, he's a top trainer, but he's not having a great season, and the market, I think, has slightly gone off them recently.
Yeah, I mean, this one's been backed, if anything else, and, you know, he's had 3 winners out of his last 6 runners or so he's going well enough. I'm not 100% sure about how good her form is, to be honest. I know she's run in Group 1s, finished 5th both times in the Guineas in Ascot, but I don't think either race was all that.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? I don't think it's particularly special, which is why she only has a rating of 106, which is, you know, I think, you know, is it joint top in the field? Yes, it is. I think Royal Dress's form is actually better, especially that last time, but I don't trust her either. Like, you know what I mean? She tends to run, you know, she can run, she's got some big numbers to her name for this level, and some pretty low ones as well. She doesn't, you know, doesn't hold a form particularly well. One of these races I wanted to, again, just bin it as a betting race. I don't want to get involved in it. But Jancis is drawn on the outside in 10, be out of trouble, and her best form would give her as much of a shout as some of those a bit shorter than her. She's got to improve a little bit on that latest matron stakes effort behind Whirl, but she ran well beyond Porta Futuna in May. And like I said, some of her best form is right up there. She is a Group 3 winner as well herself from last year.
Yeah, and we've talked about her on this show before, because she's drawn out 10 and she's an incredible hold-up horse. I mean, when she was winning last year, she was coming from God knows where to score, and it might well be that, you know, a decent clip on a strongly run round mile that suits closers, she might do the old slingshot down the middle.
Yeah, might suit her.
Yeah, she's a 9-1 shot. Yeah, we were talking about her last year. Was it the might have been the Matron Stakes or something last year, Tom? We were half fancying her to run well.
Yeah, I did, and she didn't, which is why I went. Well, I haven't been on her since. I don't know why she didn't run so well. I remember Billy Lee didn't want to ride her that day, and that sort of, or did he want to ride her? One or the other?
No, he rode he rode the other one, didn't he? He rode Vespertilio for McCreary as well.
I thought she had a better chance, and that sort of made me think she probably might not be quite as good as I thought she was. I think she's got a chance. I think you make a case for loads. Do you know that James Fanshawe has trained 367 horses to run at Ascot in his career? How many of them do you reckon have finished in the first 4, percentage-wise?
For three, well, I'm just thinking at least 167 of them must be fresh. so you've got fresh, you've got Deacon Blues, haven't you, and all those.
You've got Hickory, you've got a few others.
You've got Hickory, all right.
50%, Ross. That is
50?
Quite it's quite interesting, that, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's 160, over 160 of them finished in the first 180 of them finished in the first four. I think I like his horses at Ascot. I just think they suit the style of the race. They suit the style of the way the race is running. I like the fact that he's also from the Michael Stout sort of, I'm not going to overface a horse forever. And so the fact that he's running Pina Sonata here, I thought was quite interesting. I was really impressed with her at Leicester last time. I think the form's good. The second horse ran pretty well in the Sandringham, the race. Is it Sandringham? The race Cajole ran in. And she was drawn on right on the other side, finished 10th or so, but she was running at the line. The third horse has come out and won by 5 lengths since. I think she's has the potential to be as good as any of these. Problem is stall one.
Yeah.
But, you know, lots of horses do win from stall one. And then we saw Cicerne, or whatever it was called, win the Coronation Stakes from up on the rail. You didn't need a bit of luck, but she's got some upside for sure. When she was a double figure price, I thought she had as good a chance as anyone. She had a chance to improve past them. Shanti Lace, I agree with Keels. You know, she finished 5th in the Coronation Stakes, but in a 33-1 shot won it, didn't it? I'm not sure it was that good form, that great form. So I don't know. I think she's the right favourite. I'm not sure I want to back her at under 3-1. So I'd give James Fanshawe's horse a roll.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, Rafe Beckett, he's it's hard, isn't it? Because I say he's having, for his standards, he's having a shocking season because he had such an unbelievable year last year. I think, what was it, 5 Group 1s, I think, last year, obviously with Blue Stocking and various others. So, and I think he's on for significantly less winners last year and the year before, but they were such good years. And, of course, he's also a trainer that kind of thrives in the mud a bit as well, Tom, and it hasn't rained for 6 months. So I'm interested to see when they kick into gear, but it's not right now. And again, I'm not sure I want to be piling into Beckett horses at favourite, even though he has had 2 winners today.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily worried about his form. At the start of the season, I thought he was going to clean up. He had about 10, didn't he? 2-year-olds that looked really, really good. And none of them have really hit the straps that I was expecting them to. There's still time. Maybe they've had something wrong at the yard. But like you, I don't know. I'm not convinced by Shanti yet that it's at all.
Okay, fair enough. Shanti Lace then is 11-4 favourite here, Royal Dress 92. Yeah, I mean, I do like a penis. She's been on my list. I thought she would run in the Sandringham. She was my sort of long range fancy for her for that race. But that box one, I don't know. Tomorrow's a frustrating day because I've been waiting for her to run in a really good race, and then she goes and gets the one place
don't
where
let
I can't
it put you on. Off, Ross. Ross, you're killed. Can't worry about draws.
Look, it's not worrying about draws. It's the one on the round track at Ascot for a sort of a keen going horse. I'm reliving painful memories of horses being stuck on that
if
rail.
She wins. Yeah, it'll be more painful if she wins.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, she's 9-10-1, isn't she? So yeah, it's fair enough. It's fair enough. I might have a saver on Lulu's Gift though. The Haggis horse, William Haggis, has won this 3 times in the past 15 years. Obviously, he's very good with these type of slow burners. That Newmarket race last year, she finished 2nd to Asian Days, who hasn't been seen since, but the speed figure was phenomenal. They were 3.5 lengths clear at Arisaig, who again would be right in the mix here if she was in this. And I thought it was a very nice return at Chelmsford last time out, just keeping on late. And she's half sister to Mighty Ulysses, who improved over a mile as well, and he was a very solid Group 2, Group 3 contender. So I thought she was interesting.
And also, Ross, William Haggis has an excellent record with these sort of races. He won one at Sandown last year with some horse that was rated about 78.
Yes, yeah. He did, yeah.
He knows exactly what he's doing, so I certainly wouldn't put anyone off her.
And he, I mean, we're talking about trainers, 11 from 36 the past 2 weeks, I mean, 31% strike rate, so... It ain't too bad. On the chat, Cajole, Gosden Flying, says Simon Temple. Beckett's been a bit out of form, but he had 2 winners at Ascot today. Again, he's going to change at some point, isn't it, Paul? And American Gal sees good value at 14, says Bert and Ernie. Again, there's loads in with a chance. It is very good racing, but it ain't easy at Ascot tomorrow. So let's make it a little bit easier and move on to the international, shall we? 22 runners here, 7 furlong handicap. And the Bunbury Cup runner-up, Alto, is 5-1 favourite. Acadian Thunder, 6-1. Classic, 8-1. Northern Express, 9s. Billy Joe, 9s. Zoom Zoom, 12s. Fresh, 14s. Yorkshire, 14s. Oliver Show, Kazakh, Array, Cody Lyon, Lord Bertie, who's starting to get very well handicapped. Sword for David O'Mara as well. There's loads in here at bigger prices. albeit I said it slightly tongue-in-cheek, Keels, about let's make it a bit easier, but I looked at this race, I opened the race card, and my brain immediately went, well, Acadian Thunder's a bet here, isn't he? They were the words that went through my head, and I barely looked at the race after that.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. You can definitely see Alto as well, can't you? I mean, he's the horse that's £5 well in.
Yep.
In fact, he's £5 well in a race in which half the field are badly in, or due to go down one. Most, a lot of them, due to go down £1 for more recent runs. So I mean, they are the right two at the head of the market, aren't they? I mean, my issue with Alto is he's now 1-2 in the Bunbury Cup, and he's finished 9th and 12 in 2 runs at Ascot.
Yeah.
Whereas Acadian Thunder, you know, he's a bit more solid, isn't he?
Well, I mean, he split a listed winner in Holguin and a Group 2 winner in Never So
exactly.
Brave in his last run here,
didn't he? And he beat Billy Joe, who was, again, third in Bunbury Cup. He beat him quite comfortably the time before that. So, you know, it's one of those where he's absolutely got a top chance, and depends on whether they're drawn in the right place. Not always on, you know, I always find a straight cross, the draw is wherever the jockeys want it to be.
Yeah.
We talked about it loads of times. But there have been winners from 1, 2 and 4 in this race in the last 10 years, including Trap 1 last year. Last year they all came down the centre, all in one group.
Mm.
And Northern Express won it from Trap 1. So I try not to be too worried, because obviously Alto's in 3, Acadian Thunder's in 20, so they're drawn wide apart. I actually went for a couple of outsiders, ones that I expect might drift as well, in Cody Lyon, because he's likely second string for Michael Appleby to Billy Joe, because Tom Marquand's on Billy Joe, and Sword for David O'Mara with Mark Wynn riding. You know, they're going to be seen as second strings, aren't they? Because, you know, obviously Acadian Thunder being ridden by Danny Tudhope. But Cody Lyon, I just thought was interesting. He's run twice at Ascot in his life. He won a 7 furlong handicap there last year. He finished second to Get It this year. He went on to win the Wokingham next time.
Mm.
He then won a 16-runner handicap himself.
And he won it and won it well.
And I just completely ignore getting finishing fourth or five in a 5-runner race because he wants a big field, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's only been out of the first 4 once in his life in fields of 10 or more in handicaps. And that was first time out this season, and he was hardly disgraced, only beat just over 3 and a bit length. He stays 7 furlongs. I think he's got the right profile for this sort of race, and he's young and off a relatively low rating. I mean, off a rating that a few years ago you'd never have got in it.
Yeah. We were talking about that for the John Smith Court, weren't we?
Yeah, exactly. So we're getting these younger, sort of less exposed horses come in, and they could do a bit of damage. Off low weights. Sword's another one. Now, I think he's a bit of a rogue.
Yeah.
To be honest, and obviously, the Gosdens didn't want him anymore, even though he won for them on his final start last season. That was over a mile and two, but he's joined O'Mara and dropped straight back down to 7 furlongs. He won well in the first time hood at Leicester, and he's run well since then. Finished 3rd of 10 at Haydock, and then 7th at York when he didn't get the best of runs, and he came down the outside and he was just staying on nice and steadily, and was better than that run.
Mm.
Now when you look at him, his head's in his ear, his ears are pointing totally skywards, like, you know, he's got this funny head carriage about him. I'm sure he holds a bit for himself, but the ability's in there.
Yeah.
And he's going to travel, isn't he? I mean, that's what I like about him. So if Mr. Wynn can get him to produce his best from stall 22, I'd give him a chance. I think he's got the ability to play a hand. It all depends on whether he wants to.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, he is a bit of a lunatic. I mean, they tried several times to win a novice with him, and I think at Newcastle, I think it was a race where I think he kicked about 10 lengths clear and just held on. Mm. But he's clearly got a lot of ability. But Haydock and York kicking off, they just wouldn't have suited his style. He clearly wants to be either gunned extreme from the front or switched off out of the back.
I think he wants to be completely covered.
Yeah. So and Mark Wynn finished second on New Image in this last year.
Yeah.
So all right. Couple of big prices then, Cody Lyon and Sword. What about you, Mr. Siegel? Anything in the Moët and Chandon International Handicap, or will you just be just having a glass while you watch the replay?
I'm more likely to have a glass than a bet in this race, if truth be told.
Fair enough.
I didn't like it. I thought it was one of those sort of races that you see at Ascot that literally anything could win. I didn't see one up and coming horse. I didn't see anything that was obviously you got Alto and Arcadian Thunder, but apart from those two, I thought they're all much of a muchness. It'll depend on pace, draw, all those things I don't understand and don't care about. And so I'll leave it to the guys that like sort of race. I think the next race coming up, the Mile Handicap, is a brilliant race. I love that race. This race I found really hard. I wouldn't be surprised if Classic went well, you know. I think they found you guys were all over him at Sandown the other day. I think they may have found the way to ride him. And last year, Northern Express made all the running. There's not actually a ton of pace in this, yeah. I didn't think.
Well, and this is what happens a lot of time at Ascot, isn't it? You think, 20 runners, and then Getting, for example, pops out in front, and they all just let him get on with it.
Yeah, Northern Express last year, you know, it can happen. Mm. So I wouldn't be surprised if he ran well. Again, he's still well in, isn't he? He's got a £3 penalty. Northern Express himself can run well again. I thought he ran fine at Haydock last time. Billy Joe's got a chance. Zoom finished in front of Never So Brave in a jersey, fresh. We've talked about him. He goes, loves Ascot, ran fine on his comeback run. So you can make a case for loads. I like you filed the two-year-old race in the two hard category. This, for me, is just a nightmare. If I could have 10 goes and not get the winner.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, like I said, Acadian was the first one. The only other horse in here that I've got a note next to is Zoom Zoom, which I instantly wrote after Ascot, just not quick enough for six, back up to seven, and here he is. I mean, he is genuinely a listed slash group horse over 7 furlongs when it goes to plan. And I know I was saying about the Rafe Beckett horses, but asking to back a group horse at 11-4 against loads of other group horses, or a handicap at 12-1, who is a group horse, I'd rather have a chance with Zoom Zoom from box 19. But Acadian Thunder, I mean, he's only been on the turf over 7 furlongs. His handicap record is 1st, 2nd, 8th, 3rd, 1st, 2nd, 9th. The 8th, he got stopped in his run loads of times behind Volterra. The 9th, he was drawn on the wrong side in the Bunbury Cup. But that's the thing, isn't it, Tom? I think he's one of those. There's loads of these horses that they run the same race over and over and over again. It's just sometimes they look over and there's 10 horses over there.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you've got to throw in Lord Bertie as well, I thought, for David O'Mara. Jamie Spencer, trap 21. I don't know where the draw is going to be, but in the last meeting here, well, not today because they all came up the middle, but in the last meeting here in the sprint, the 5 furlong sprint at the end of the day, there was a big high draw advantage. If that's the case again, I could see him running well. He's a course winner.
Just going to say one word to you though, Tom. Jamie Spencer drawn high, Ascot, Jack Ajaro.
Don't start. The time before, when he rode the two-year-old about 3 minutes before, he did a Jamie Spencer special, didn't he? Hugo
Palmer's
two-year-old. Jack Ajaro was a disaster, but there we go.
That's Ascot for you. Okay, in the chat, Northern Express is the Naps as Mike Boy, and Arcadian as Cerulean Baker could give him a race. Fresh each way for Robert Ballard. Again, lovely to see him just turning up once again, cracking on fresh. He'll keep going for years, won't he? Oliver showing the first time blinkers for Bert and Ernie. And Acadian Thunder for the win, says Rod. Panhard and Sword each way at a price. A bit of an O'Mara special there for the 3 o'clock. The 3:35. Let's run the same race again, but over a furlong further, shall we? We've got a mile here, and we've got Hunt Cup versus Britannia form, and it's Hunt Cup who has the top of the betting here. Bullet Point at 100-30. Taroom is 9-2. Fear Not 6-1. Cozy Bellow 7s. Sisyphean is 17-2. Competizione is 9-1. Been looking forward to saying that all day. 10-1. Bo Pedro. Supido is 11-1. And then bigger the rest here. And Bullet Point, who is very much turned into one of those haggis specialists in these races, and he'll be in group races probably by the end of the year. Tom, if not the race whose the name completely escapes me at Champions Day, the big handicap at the Balmoral, is it?
Yeah.
Maybe that might be the target in the end. But I mean, he's just so good. We were saying how good he was with fillies and mares earlier on, but these types, the types that he clearly plots out, we're running that handicap. And then 6 weeks later we'll go there. 6 weeks later we'll go there, and I don't know. They just turn up and run an absolute blinder every time. And obviously, he would have won if it weren't for a group horse in a handicap and being on the wrong side.
I mean, I'm cross with you though, because this is light years ahead of the 7 furlong race. I mean, this is proper. This is a proper race.
You can't
put it up a furlong and say that's the same as the last rubbish. This is really good. I think this is a top class handicap, as good as anything we had at Royal Ascot, because you've got the three-year-olds in there as well.
Yeah.
Bullet Point is obviously the clear, most likely winner for me on what he did in the Hunt Cup. But how good was the Hunt Cup? If you take out, obviously, the winner, he's just a little bit better than Bo Pedro, isn't he?
20 runners, one winner. Admittedly, that was the John Smith's Cup winner, but...
Yeah, I mean, it was the John Smith's Cup, you're right. But I'm not convinced it was the greatest. I wrote a piece in the Weekend of this week about how it's impossible to find winner of Group 1s, but everyone can find the winner of the handicaps these days. They're starting at 3-1, 6-5, and, you know, and all these handicaps are being won by horses backed off the boards. We saw it 7 or 8 times at Royal Ascot. We saw it in the Bunbury Cup. And I think it's because they're weak. I think it's because class is severely draining from our horses these days. And therefore, anything with any semblance of having, you know, group race or being unexposed wins these races. The problem with this one is you've got all the three-year-olds coming in. That's why I really like it. I think it's a really good race. It's going to be run at a strong pace. You've got Bullet Points, Sisyphean, and a few others floating around. I like Tarum most because I thought... I really like the Silver Bowl. Mm. Always like the Silver Bowl. I thought he won that comfortably, despite some things going against him. And then he just got no sort of run up the rail in the Britannia last time. I think the price is on the skinny side now, if truth be told, because he finished behind a few of these. But I think he'll go really well. I like his draw. I think he's drawn by Bullet Point and he's drawn by Sisyphean, which I think could be the place to be. I don't know. But he'd be my first one. And I can't let Hickory go either. My old friend Hickory, who I think just needs a mile desperately these days. Back at Ascot. He won the Victoria Cup and he off a pound. I think it's almost the same mark. Jamie Spencer is tailor-made for Hickory. If ever there was a horse made for Jamie Spencer, it's Hickory. I couldn't believe it when I saw him around 25-1 yesterday. I thought that was a ridiculous price for a horse that's got such great form in these type of races, and I think the mile suits him. So those were my two. I could definitely make a case for Cozy Bellow. I could make a case for Fear Not and Sisyphean, but I love the race. I think it's really good. It's the race I'm most looking forward to tomorrow, and I'm sort of hoping Tarum wins. Yeah. Well, I'm not sort of hoping. I am hoping Tarum wins.
But you have, I assume, by the price collapse on Hickory, you've put him up as well.
Yeah.
And he's a tough nut, isn't he?
Yay.
He'll go close. I mean, Tarum was my sort of, again, handicap horse of the week at Royal Ascot. I thought this is absolutely tailor-made for the Britannia. He'd battled back at Thirsk in a really, really good time. I love the way he came home at Haydock. I thought, and he got the high draw as well. I thought, this is absolutely, absolutely perfect. And then it was a farce of a race. They didn't go much of a pace and he was stopped 500 times in his run. So, I mean, I do think he's a listed / group horse in a handicap here. Interesting that, Keels, the Britannia, again, that day where all the high draws were dominating, we've had three horses come out of that race from single figures. Fifth Column, who won at Newmarket. Defence Minister, who finished second on the line at Sandown. And Siegelazzo finished third next time out as well. So does that bring Hawk Bill into it potentially?
I didn't think he ran any sort of race, though. That was the only issue. It wasn't just the draw that beat him. It was pretty much every other horse as well, wasn't it? That was the issue. I mean, I think he's got to be better than that because, you know, I thought I'd seen enough in him beforehand to make him worth a better price, but he was very weak in the market and he ran terrible. So jury's out for me. I thought the one that stood out for me earlier in the week at the prices anyway was Cozy Bellow.
Okay.
I think we've caught the bookmakers on the hop because he actually had an entry in the racing league until the 48-hour decks, and then he suddenly didn't appear, and then he sort of halved in price after that. I still think he's a reasonable price. He's only had three runs in his life. He's shaped really, really well. Obviously, on the first two, he won very easily on the all-weather both times, and then just failed to make it 3 from 3 at Chester. Didn't quite get a run of the race on his first time in the handicap, and I think there's an awful lot more to come for him. He's got to prove himself at a mile. He wouldn't be absolutely copper-bottomed, I suppose, being by Bated Breath, but he's a half-brother to Urban Icon, who was borderline group horse at 7 furlong and a mile. I think there's a bit more to come from him. He's very lightly raced. I love the way he went about it at Chester last time without winning. And again, he's probably in the right place. Like Tom said, he's got stall two, so he's right next to Sisyphean, who is a front runner with a proper chance.
Yeah.
And obviously Bullet Point is another front runner with a proper chance. So hopefully, you know, get somewhere in between those two and a bit of cover and be produced late. That's how I was hoping it would play out.
And again, we're talking about, I mean, Charlie Fellows must have, I don't know how many mirrors he's broken.
Oh, he's had an absolute horse. One turf winner this year.
Yeah.
So far.
And that was the other day at Epsom.
Yeah, but he's, you know, but he's had winners, he's had plenty of decent winners at Ascot. Yeah. In handicaps, isn't he? Well, you know, knows what he's doing. So.
Oh, it'll turn eventually. It's just, it just.
Yeah, and he's booked James Doyle as well. James Doyle's got a near 20% strike rate for the yard, and the yard's got an 11% strike rate overall. Well, you know what I mean. So he does, you know, provide some winners for him, and hopefully this will be one of them.
Okay, fair enough. On the chat, any fancies? Big Shook says it's a horrible race, far too hard. Robert Ballard says dinner time. Good luck, guys. See you later. So while Tom is
lucky boy,
yeah, I was going to say this is the race that Tom is looking forward to the most. But I think Robert's looking forward to his dinner more. It's a shame you've gone, Robert, because I want to know what you're having. Hawksmiller's a great each way bet, says Paul Tolliver, and Dave Brown says don't like Taroom at all. The silver ball hasn't worked out one bit. No horses placed since the race. That's fair enough. It's I did think he was a bit better than that field. Okay, big race of the other day then. At Ascot, it's coming up at 4:10. It's the King George, of course, Group 1, over a mile and a half. Just the five runners here, four runners really. Let's work backwards, shall we? Continuous, 125-1. Thanks for just keep turning up, buddy. He's 125-1 outside of the bunch. Rebels Romance 5s, Kalpana 9-2, Jan Brugelli 7-4, and Calandagan 13-8. So the market can barely split those two, and you can barely split them at Epsom Keels, which after that race, you know, everyone said, oh, Calandagan, he doesn't want it. And then a few weeks later, he said, I'll show you how much I wanted it, and absolutely dotted up.
Yeah, he did absolutely dot up, but it was, I don't think it was the best race in the world, was it? But,
no, it wasn't.
And the ground, although it was sufficiently good to soft, was much faster. And I think it might be the case. The ground was definitely on the easy side at Epsom, and he might not have handled the track as well as looking like he didn't want it. I mean, to me, he was doing a fine impression of Archibald, wasn't he? Like, you know what I mean? It was that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we might be being a little bit harsh on him, I don't know. But, I mean, he was gelded early enough in his career, and that would have been for a reason, wouldn't it? So I don't know. It's very interesting, isn't it? Jan Brugel, first time cheek pieces. Why?
Yeah. Well,
why?
We're going to get the stat out again. Group 1s, first time cheek pieces, 2 from 131. Both of them fillies in the Matron Stakes. Aidan O'Brien, first-time cheap pieces in Group 1s, 0 from 27, 4 placed, and 3 of those are fillies.
Scandinavia's his first winner of a group race in cheap pieces, first-time cheap pieces since 2010.
Yeah. It suggests, OK, he's maybe gone off the boil a bit sour at home, maybe? They want to just...
I don't know.
It is an odd one,
isn't it? Strange, isn't it? Yeah, it is very strange. I just think that, you know, obviously we've had a dry day today. We know how quick Ascot dries out. It was good ground today. The ground will end up being more in Calandagan's favour, and he'll probably have too much speed.
Yeah.
But then you go back to that Epsom race and think, well, who wanted it most? You know what I mean? And Jan Brugel is one of those, you know, they're the complete opposite, aren't they? Calandagan looks like winning a dozen. Jan Brugel looks like getting beaten a dozen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So... it's difficult. I won't have a bet in the race. I do think the two of them are clear, in my eyes anyway, likely to finish first and second again. It's quite sad to see a Ledger winner and Ark fifth from 2 years ago being relegated to the role of pacemaker, but that's all continuous is these days.
Yeah.
And Rebels Romance is solid, but will probably run the same race as he ran when well beaten third last year. And I don't see why Kalpana is as sure as she is, to be honest.
Yeah,
I think she's got a bit more to find than.
Well, she's been the, you know, since she was the talking horse almost of Royal Ascot last year, wasn't she? And it was like, this, you know, she's an absolute monster. She's not. I think people are expecting the next than Abel, and obviously she did absolutely dot up here at the back end of last year. But surely that's her race again, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd have thought so. Yeah, and of course that was soft ground then.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work out what was in it that was any good. You know what I mean? I don't think it was a brilliant race last year either.
No. The only thing is, I mean, again, she's similar-ish to Blue Stocking in that these Judmont fillies and mares, they do...
Oh, yeah. I think she can improve, but she needs to do so. That's what I'm saying. She's got an official rating of 117. I know she gets a bit of weight for her age, but, I mean, she's got to be better than she has been so far to win.
That is true. Andrew Balding on a Saturday again, though. Crikey, O'Reilly. I mean, he's.
Yeah, I actually think Whirl would be a bigger price than 9-2 to win this, and Whirl bigger last time.
Yeah. But again, I do think she does have this aura about her that she's going to explode at some point. And I'm still kind of waiting for it to a certain extent. But again,
I want more than 9-2 to back it to happen.
Yeah, fair enough. Kalanda again then, 13-8 favourite here. Jan Brugel 7-4. And like we said, yeah, it is an on move. First time cheap piece on a horse who's won 5 out of his 6 races, Tom. I mean, you normally pop him onto, you know, oh, God, this. We just need to get a bit more out of this horse to get his head in front. Jan Brugel's thinking, what do you want?
I think they've got in a bit of a tiz about the track because of what happened with
Los Angeles.
The Prince of Wales is this year, yeah, where they got it completely wrong. And I think they're sort of thinking Ascot's a tricky track for their horse, for a horse like him. And I agree, it is a tricky track. I think this track will suit Calandigan miles better than Epsom. Right. Epsom is it's over half a mile straight. It's a long old straight, and they rode Jan Brugel perfectly. And so I'd forgive any horse that seems to give up at the end of a big war like that. This is a short straight round the, you know, it's only 2 furlongs, the Ascot straight. He's won here before. They're going to go really hard. That's the thing. It's going to be an all-out war, isn't it? If Calandigan stays properly, which on all he's done, he does. But it just seems, as Keel's point out, he just seems to get run out of it sometimes. But I think his form in the Judd Monty last year puts him quite a bit ahead of these. I do. I know he was beaten that day, but he made up an awful lot of ground in a very good race, running a very good time. I think he's the most likely winner by far. I don't like Keel's Understand Kalpana that much. She got beaten in the Ribblesdale over this course and distance at Ascot last year in a shocking Ribblesdale, and she was not even close to winning it. I don't know. She obviously improved as the season went on and clearly got better. I thought even perhaps her best effort was on the all-weather. I thought she was really impressive in that September Stakes, was it, at Kempton? But I don't know. I think she's got to make a big step up. Rebel's Romance is going to run like Rebel's Romance does, and he will be there, but I don't think he's good enough. I think Calandigan's the right favourite. I think he'll win.
Yeah, can I again then 13-8? There is a poll in the description as well of the episode. So go and vote who you think is going to come out on the top in this year's King George. Can I again then 13-8 favourite in the chat. Rebels Romance for me, says Mike Boy. Rebels Romance for Destiny Sounds as well. Calandigan should win, but Barcelona is a big negative, says Paul Tolliver. I mean.
Five-runner race.
Yeah.
It's a 5-runner race where they're going to go bonkers hard.
It's not so much that. The worry about this is I'm always getting palpitations again, Tom, in because of these small field mile and a half, you know, they're going to go hard. And then they jump out and you think, oh, crikey, we've got a pacemaker who's not making the pace here. Or you think, oh, this is going to be running at a crawl. And, oh, no, 4 of them have gone out in front. I'm losing count of the amount of these kind of races where after a furlong you're thinking, what on earth is going on here? And it's a completely different race to what you were expecting.
And the Cornwall boys are very good at messing with tactics and changing things everyone's expecting to do.
It feels like a magic trick. And I almost think then you've got the psychology of the jockeys now at Barcelona thinking, well, I don't want to be too far behind. And I don't know. It's going to be a cracking race. But from a betting perspective, I'm just looking at it thinking, I have no idea how this race is going to unfold. I think I know how it might unfold, and that always worries me.
The only thing you'd say is that Rebel's Romance is in there too, isn't it? If Rebel's Romance wasn't there, I think you could expect it to be. You could expect them to mess about with the tactics, but there's no way Rebel's Romance is going to sit around and wait for a sprint, is it? He hasn't got a turn of foot. They're not going to do that. So my feeling is they're going to have to. Even if Continuous doesn't go hard, Rebel's Romance will. He stays further, so I think it'll be a strongly run race, and I think that suits Calandigan the best. I think he's the horse with the best, most ability. So he, that's the one I always go for. I think he should be shorter priced than he is.
Yeah, fair enough. And again, it is mad, Keels, that 12 months ago, Continuous was arguably a good enough horse to be contested to try and win this race. Mm. I mean, it's a weird 12 months. He's
there as a pacemaker.
Yeah.
Not really.
What's going on there?
I don't know. Let's hope they ignore him and he wins. Yeah. Funny, wouldn't it?
If he just skips clear, yeah.
It won't happen though, will it?
Okay, anything else on the chat? Jan Brugel's always needed some sort of headgear, has a weird head carriage, has Big Shug. I mean, to be fair, he'd win by 10 lengths then if he's always needed the headgear. But you never know. Trust in Ryan, he's the man, says Colin. And continuous held up and Ryan goes steady in front, says Big Sug. You wouldn't rule it out.
You wouldn't rule it out, would you? Nope.
You would not rule it out. Okay, fascinating lineup then for this year's King George. As we rattle on up north to the Knavesmire for a bit of York and a proper York handicap. There's 22 runners over 6 furlongs and a trio of 4-year-olds unexposed and in good nick at the top of the betting here. Elman Jed, who is contractually obliged to go favoured in every one of his races, is 5-1. Jubilee Walk is 11-2. Pocklington is 6-1. 10-1 Al Zahir and Toyotomi. It is 10-1 Strike Red as well. 11-1 Elise Dancer and Arctic Thunder. And then loads of others, including Rousing Encore, who was given a blinding ride to win here back in May. Indian Run, who's been running in some half-decent races. Old friend slash foe Corker. Caburn, who's starting to get very well handicapped, and a switch to James Tate. But again, William Haggas, Jim Crowley, this ownership, 4-year-old sprint handicapper, Elman Jed, like the one that you wrote about in today's paper the other day, is always going to be well fancied.
Yes, always going to be well fancied. Probably. He's got a perfectly good chance. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with his form, is there? But he is the price he is. I mean, I'm absolutely convinced that Pocklington's a 100-plus handicapper. In the making, and I'm hoping this will be the day for him. I wish I hadn't seen the first two races at York today, though, because the 7-furlong race, the horse that came widest in the straight up next to the rail came home and won, and the second race, the horse that came right wide in the straight and come near the rail and won, and he's in stall 7. And it might just be one of these days where you want to be drawn high. So we'll have to wait.
Seven furlongs got that. You go into the bend quite quick, though. Six furlongs, obviously, you've got the straight track.
But they've still come wide in the straight and won.
Again,
come right round the bend in the stairs race, and the one that comes widest has won. So,
but you're just looking well, mate. You put the winner up, didn't you? The stairs race.
No, I put the winner. Welcome, old Pinky.
Yeah, you said you put the winner up. That's what I said.
I thought you said the runner up.
No, I said you put the winner up.
Yeah,
I did. Just congratulated you.
Yeah, thank you.
Try
not to show off. Anyway, I love Pocklington. He just failed to land a gamble at Newcastle last time. And when 10th over 5.5 furlongs here last year, I mean, he was drawn high then, and it was totally the wrong place to be. I think the first 7 home were drawn in single figures, and it was way too short for him. It was only 5 furlongs, 89 yards, and he was rushed off his feet early. He was still last with 1.5 furlongs to go, and he come through, and he got beat 3 lengths, and with a clearer run, he might have nicked a place in the frame. I just think he's definitely going to be 100-plus. He's out of Ladies of Forever, who was a very, very, very good York horse.
Yeah.
I think 5 of her best 6 runs were at York, including a Group 3 win.
Triple winner of the Summer Stakes.
So she's, you know, so hopefully he'll take after her and run really, really well. I'm concerned a little bit by a low draw now. It's of one.
Tom, tell him what you told me.
I know. Yeah.
Tell him.
You won't be.
Oh, he cares. You can't. Just move on with the draws.
Yeah. But one from the high side, Strike Red, has been run back down the handicap to exactly the same mark, off which he won over course and distance in October, and he hasn't been running that badly at all, and he's drawn in 20. Could be interesting.
All right, okay. So a couple against the field then, but Pocklington. Again, I would look to Pocklington and thought, box 7, oh, perfect. He's going to have a blind.
Yeah, it was my initial thing. I want to be somewhere low to middle. Yeah. But when I've seen that today, just a little worry.
Again, similar to the Acadian Thunder, though, the first one that came to mind for me, Tom, was Jubilee Walk, who I thought ran a lovely race at Chester. That was a lovely return. Thought he'd have a squeak as well, but, you know. We're not getting rich off these prices, and there's sure to be a few others. And you are, of course, the doyen of a sprint handicap.
No back for me, York sprint handicap. Pocklington's one of those horses. I call him a black hole horse. He sucks you in every single time.
What horse, Tom? Say that again.
Black hole.
A black hole horse.
Okay.
He sucks you in every single time. I don't know. I'm prepared to let him run now. I've done too much cash on Pocklington the last 3 times to go in again. I'll let Peels wallow in the death that will be Pocklington. Jubilee Walk. Yeah, I just thought his head carriage was a bit funny at Chester last time. I didn't like the way he sort of went through the last furlong, but he has York form. He won that race here last time. Didn't like it. I have no. I thought Rousing Thunder and Ali's Dancer were the type of horses that will run well because they always do at York. They both won at York, but not for me. Move on.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, yeah. And Pocklington's Newcastle, two wins at a close second, three runs on the turf and play. So there is a possibility that as much as he is named after a village walkable distance outside of York, that for some reason he prefers Newcastle. So there is always that to bear in mind. Okay, moving on then to the 240 at the York Stakes Group 2 here over the extended 10 furlongs. Again, a lovely stepping stone, in theory, for the gentleman international and Al Makkum. We wanted to see him at Sandown. We will see him at York here, and hopefully we'll see him at York in a few weeks' time, regardless of whether he wins this or not. He's 10-11. Stanhope Gardens is 7-2. 6-1 Bay City Roller. 8-1 Green Impact. The three-year-olds up against Al Makkum here, and then 14-1 bar those. But your horse to follow for the season, Tom. I'm still waiting for him to properly bloom, to properly flourish. But there's plenty of races for him yet, starting with tomorrow.
Well, I think being ombudsman was a pretty good start. Stand down the other in the Brigadier Gerard. It's just York, isn't it? York is a funny track. I have watched this race a million times over the years, expecting horses to show tremendous form, and they struggle. They struggle. Often horses that are much the best form, a bit like Al Makkum, just struggle. So I think he'll win. I want him to win. I'm desperate for him to win. Everything about him is just my type of horse. Just, I would never back him at 10-11 at York. I just wouldn't. It's not my game. Round Sandown, I think he'd be one. I think he'd win, you know, doing handsprings. Here, don't know. Stanhope Gardens is a danger for me. He is, because I thought he ran a lot better than his finning position would suggested in the Derby. He had a terrible preparation. When I watched it back the other day, I was surprised how well he ran and was surprised I hadn't noticed it when I watched it the first three times I watched the race. I think he's a good horse. I think a mile and a quarter will suit him. But is he 7-2 to beat a horse that's beaten an ombudsman? I don't think so. I think Al Makkum will win. I just think it might be a little bit more tricky than the price would suggest.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, that is true. I mean, there aren't actually any... There's always a York horse in these races, but there isn't this.
There isn't this time, is it? But who knows where the Al Makkum is either? You know, I mean, he is the best horse, or not all known form at the moment, and he might dot up, and he could well do. But the 3-year-olds are unexposed, aren't they? I actually prefer Bay City Roller to Stanhope Gardens. I think his two runs this year have been excellent. Obviously, he was unbeaten in three last year. Mm. Trying to give £5 to Opera Ballo, who's now rated 116, first time up at Sandown. In May over a mile, which was always going to be too short this year. That was a good effort. And then he's run 3/4 length second to a horse in France who the connections are talking up as being a potential arc horse. There's an Aga Khan owned horse called Darius who's unbeaten. And I thought that was a perfectly good run. And I think if there's a danger to Al Makkum, it will be him. He probably like a bit easier ground. And if there is a threat, it'll be him. My old man told me, you know, as soon as I was getting in racing, since the first time we ever went to the Ebor meeting, which, you know, I used to go, you know, from the age of about 15 to 20, whenever every year with my mum and dad, and he would always tell me, York is a graveyard for favourites. That's what he would say. Never back them. So I very rarely have done, and I'm going to take on Al Makkum with a small bet on Bay City Roller without really expecting it to win.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, graveyard favourites, unless the proper York horses that come back, they run okay everywhere else, they come back to York. I mean, See the Fire, for example, I'm sure run an absolute face-off in the international and then...
I'll definitely back it, yeah. I mean, she won't be the same price as her mum, but...
No. Just a quick word for one. Again, we're talking about York horses, just a quick reminder of... what are my favourite horses the past few years? I've completely forgotten the name. Spirit Dancer, of course. It was a proper York horse of Richard Fahey. Yeah. Ecuriel Secret. Obviously sprang that surprise at Epsom, but, you know, a tricky, tightish left-handed track. He'd run into Listed and group form over in France, and then basically did way too much early on at Ascot in the Wolverton. I don't know, Fahey, Oshinor, that Epsom form, that the form from France... Just looking at that sort of 22-1, and I'm thinking, is anyone going three places? Is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but we'll do well to find them, won't it?
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. That punctured my balloon, didn't it? Right. But it's fair enough. It's fair enough. Give a little love to Bay City Roller, says Sir Rod Banhard. Lovely.
I have done.
And Ben K88 says, I'm like I'm a Royal Champion. Reversed forecast. Okay. That's the preview's done then. And we'll get the naps in after this. All right then, best bets on King George Day at Ascot and York or elsewhere. Who knows what the pundits are going to throw in. Starting off with you, Paul Keighley.
Yeah, it was going to be Pocklington until I saw the draw. But having...
Don't do it, Keels.
Having had the discussion. Yeah, no, I'm going to stick with Pocklington now.
He's going to
win.
Yeah, regardless of what happens, it has to be the right choice. All right, yeah. Tom.
I was going to do Pina Sonata before I saw the draw, and I'm still doing Pina Sonata.
All right, fair enough. And I'll do Acadian Thunder, regardless of the... Actually, after seeing the draw, actually, box 20, yeah, bring it on. Get down that near side rail. Remember, jockeys, remember where the best place to be is at Ascot. Yeah, so anyway, we've got Glorious Goodwood next week. We've got a bit of Galway as well. We've got loads coming up. We'll be with you every single night, five nights of Glorious Goodwood. And by the end, Paul Keighley will have a big smile on his face. And Tom Seeker will be tearing his hair out. But that's what you come for. There you go. He's already started. Lovely stuff. See you next week.